Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Right Now Weekly Radio Show, hosted by Vicki Winterton, founder of Expert Insights Publishing, home of best-selling books, award-winning magazines, global broadcasts and communities. Right Now is a highly educational, inspiring, and empowering show focused on writing, publishing, and marketing your books, featuring outstanding guests from across the globe, including best-selling authors, world stage speakers, thought leaders, and visionaries with proven strategies, secret formulas, and treasured resources to help you succeed and make an impact. Welcome, sit back, and enjoy the show. And now your host, Vicki Winterton.
Hi, this is Vicki Winterton, and we have a real treat today because with me I have Kyle Morey. Kyle is a man who walks his talk. He does not practice his faith. He lives it with each breath and integrates it into everything he does. Kyle, his wife Danielle, and their five children are on a three-year mission adventure as wandering world schoolers, homeless house sitters, and venturesome volunteers. Another exercise in faith, they ask God where to dwell temporarily. Then they roll up their sleeves to work, serve, speak at meetings, gatherings, and of course, present Kyle's book. And he's written several books that are amazing, but the one we're going to be discussing with him today is Ask God, My 30-Day Experiment with Prayer and Its Potential to Answer Yours. Kyle, welcome.
Oh, Vicki, it is so wonderful to be with you today. Thank you for having me on the show.
Well, for those that haven't had a chance to know your extraordinary story and meet you, they may be meeting you for the first time today. Could you please share with us a little bit about how you came to your passion and purpose, a little bit about your background?
Oh, I appreciate that. What a wonderful question. You know, you and I were just talking off air for a moment, and I really feel just that I'm an ordinary person, but I seem to be surrounded by extraordinary individuals and experiences that are happening all around me. And it's just been a thrill to be a part of writing a book that deals with direct response and questions to the divine, which was an interesting topic for me to pick because, yes, I am religious by nature. I've grown up in a home where I was taught early on that God answers prayers and that He is mindful of me personally and everyone. And in fact, not only was I taught that He answers my prayers, but He answers everybody's prayers. Sometimes we're just not in tune enough to hear the answer. In fact, at an early age, my mom would teach me about a 14-year-old boy who once went to the woods and asked Heavenly Father a very important question on his mind. And from that, an entire religion exploded. And I thought, well, if He can do that for a 14-year-old boy, what can He do for you? What can He do for me? And that's always stuck with me as I've grown up under the wing of my mother and my father and my grandfather, who were very keen on teaching me to pray at a very early age. You're talking about what is the purpose and the passion in my life and how did I come to that passion and purpose? I would say it in one word, prayer. From an early age, I've been on my knees and I've prayed. Now, that doesn't mean that I haven't done a lot of bad things or a lot of wrong things in my early youth or had problems or challenges or trials. I have, just like everybody else does. But for some reason, I've always had this connection to God through prayer that He's listening to me and that it's not just a recording. I'm not just sending up some thoughts and a shopping list and saying, please make this happen, and then that's it. But I really feel like I can have a relationship with God. And that has been really important to me. In fact, through prayer, a question I had when I was about 18 or 19, what should I do with my life? And in prayer, I had the idea to serve a two-year mission for my church, which put me in the southern part of France for 2 years doing some humanitarian work and some proselyting work for my church. And it was such a wonderful experience. And then right after that two-year experience in mission, I had this thought about, you know, who should I marry? And I took it to God in prayer. And the girl that I had grown up with in high school and was kind of my sweetheart wasn't the one that I felt was right. And I ended up marrying a total stranger because of prayer. And with that person I'm married to now, we have 5 children, and because of a prayer that happened about, a year ago, we are now homeless and traveling around the United States and the country, soon to be in Mexico, actually, on a kind of a world schooling experience with our kids. So I'm just fascinated with this thought and idea that there is something bigger than us, that ideas can flow to us, and if we act upon them, good things happen.
Wow, that is so powerful and really beautiful, but it's a very empowering process and thought. I was wondering, what made you decide to write the book?
That is a great question. And again, I hate to be rhetorical, it was prayer. Let me back up just a little bit. In 2014, I was out with my kids. We had just done a little secret service project for a woman in our congregation who was without a husband and had kids and needed some help, and she didn't know this, but we went and shoveled her driveway. Well, after that, since I had the kids all bundled up, I said, let's go sledding. We put the sleds in the van, and we decided to hit some of the bigger slopes in the area we were living in. And being a bit of a show-off, I said, hey, kids, watch Dad. I can go down backwards. And so I went down backwards, actually looking up at the sky, heads up, and I hit the only little irrigation pole that is at the bottom of that hill, just to the right of my head, just missing my head, but hitting my shoulder, which caused me to crack 6 ribs and to compress my vertebrae a little bit. And it was pretty scary. It put me in the hospital for 4 or 5 days in recovery. And I had a colleague of mine from work that came and visited me, and she said, hey, you know, you kind of had a near-death experience. So the question is, you know, are you happy with where you're at in life? And, you know, is there something more you'd want to do? Did it kind of flash in your eyes a little bit in your head when you realized that this could have been it? I thought to myself, and I answered her kind of immediately. I said, you know what? I'm really happy in life. I'm really happy with where I'm at. And that was the truth. But I realized that I needed to do something more. I was running an organization, a non-for-profit, an economic development organization responsible for bringing businesses into the area. And it was a blast. I was having a lot of fun at it, and we were having a lot of success. But I had this itch in me dating back for years that said I needed to get out and speak more. I needed to write. And that itch stayed with me to the point where I took it to Heavenly Father in prayer, and I said, well, what should I do with this? And I got a little bit desperate because I felt like a book was in me, but I didn't know what it was. And so for months, I would sit down to the computer, I would type out some things, and then nothing. I kind of was afraid of the process, this whole idea of creating a book and writing my thoughts down in such a way, it kind of scared me a little bit. And so I kept going to prayer to God. I even fasted. I went 24 hours without food and water and asked God, what should I do? And I woke up one morning with just this quick, very brief thought in my head that I could tell was not mine. It was completely new. And so for me, it felt good, so I felt that it came from God. And the thought was, write a book asking me what to write for the reader. I thought, well, that's a crazy, isn't that what Scripture is? I'm not a prophet. But it's just this thought that I could pray to know how I could be of service to others and then just write that day the thoughts that came to me based on the impressions from Scripture study and other things that I would do in the morning to prepare before I wrote. And not only did I have that thought, the thought said, do it in 30 days. And that kind of took a little bit of pressure off of me, actually. So instead of thinking, I need to research and I really need to put together a plan and a process to write this book, I think I can just turn this over to God. And so for every day, for 30 days, I wrote. And about 3,000 words a day or 100,000 words total at the end of the 30-day project, I had something. And it was beautiful to me because of the spiritual experience I had while writing it, but I wondered how others would receive it. So I sent it to a team of people that I trusted and some mentors and then some people I knew who didn't believe in the same things I believed and also wanted their idea. And they all came back and said, you got something here. And so I went through the process to get it published.
Wow, that's incredible. Really incredible.
You know, never having written, Vicki, like this, I mean, professionally I would write newsletters, and I've always been in my journal. Ever since my youth, I've always written in my editor has built that into me somehow. I have just beautiful documents of my journals that probably only me, my mother, and maybe my great-great-grandchildren, whenever they want to know about, you know, Grandpa Maury here, will want to read about. But because of that desire to want to write something that I could put out there to the world, I think God answered in an incredible way for an ordinary person. I'm not an expert in the field of prayer. I've been praying since my youth. I'm an ordained minister in my church, but it's a volunteer position. I've been ordained since I was the age 12 in my church, and it's just something that we do. And so it never felt like I was an expert. I'm not a preacher. I'm not a person in that sense that feels like I'm called to this mission to bring the world to repentance or something like that. I just had a really strong experience with prayer several times in my life, and I thought, I need to help others with what I'm, maybe I should have titled this, but what I'm now calling the God hack. Here's how you get God in prayer. In fact, I was thinking of that phrase. That might be my follow-up book, is the God hack.
Oh, that's fabulous. But, you know, that's the beauty of being able to publish more easily these days than it was traditionally going back, you know, decades ago, and being able to get your experience, which is so incredibly important for everyone, to get their experience out, and you can now get it out to the world and share it. It's just so lovely, you know, really, really is very special. And you have the ability to control your book and do it the way you want to do it. And I think that that's so important.
I am so thankful for technology. I could not have done this without the ability to push through the digital world and use electronics and software and programs and the things that people have prepared today for writers to be able to utilize. I'm thankful for them. I'm thankful for the technology. I'm thankful that I have just a little bit of knowledge enough to be able to use it. And if I couldn't, I could find people readily available to help me with the process of publishing a book, including you. I'm just excited to be a part of your program and your process and what you do for authors. It's thrilling, and it must be thrilling for you to help people like me kind of reach a few more people and help get our message out that we believe in.
Absolutely. There's no question about it. It's my purpose in life, just as you found your purpose in life. So tell me a little bit about how you find the houses that you sit, because you're traveling all over. You're going to be coming to Mexico, hopefully for our event, which is the IFBY Book Awards in November. And how does this happen for you guys with five children? It's just incredible.
Am I sounding too cliche when I say the word prayer again? I want to say it in the most humblest ways because, listen, we are a family of seven. And this house-sitting program, which is similar to Couching USA or Woofing or other programs out there that really just match up people who own property, who go away for an extended period of time and need somebody to come in and be in the home, take care of some pets and some plants or whatever it is that they need while they're away. And so instead of renting it out, they match up to people like us who are wanting to come and stay there, mostly for people who do this for vacation. But for us, this is actually a way to keep our bills down as we spend a lot of our time, resources in publishing and promoting our books and writing. And it's been inspirational for me because we kind of get to go live other people's lives for a few months. And it just inspires me to write. It gets me out of the norm. It makes me uncomfortable. And usually when I'm uncomfortable and feeling a little desperate, I write more clearer. And so through
wow.
The house-sitting program, there are a number of websites, trustedhousesitters.com, housecarers.com, USA House Sitters. And what they do is they try to match us up with, we can go in and search for homes all around the world and then apply. Now, here's the thing. We compete with a number of people who also want to go use and stay in those homes. And mostly, Vicki, a family of seven does not get invited to come and take care of their precious home and pets. And we understand. If we owned a home, it'd probably be very difficult for us to trust a family of seven to come and sit. And I think that's where prayer comes into play. We have noticed out of doing this now for about 8 months of house sitting that God has something for us to do in each area that we have been in. And a lot of times it's not what we can do, but what we were able to gain or learn through a relationship or through a bit of service or through something that just occurred that wouldn't have occurred had we not been there. And that's been and continues to be a glorious thing to me. It's inspiring me and it's bewildering sometimes. And so here we are. We're in South Carolina right now in Salem. I'm talking to you while I'm looking out at the greenery. I'm on a dirt road. I'm overlooking the property of 26 acres that we're now the caretakers of for the months that we're here, taking care of some chickens and some quail and some dogs and cats and wood-burning stove to keep us warm at night. I mean, we're getting a little rugged here. No outhouse. Thankfully, they have plumbing, but we're getting close to the pioneer days here where we're at. And it's just been wonderful. But the point here is that most people, 99% of the people tell us no. They reject our application because we have 7 in our family. But about a week or two, maybe 3 weeks, when we're closing in on the end of our house, that becomes available every time. We're right there now. We end this in just 3 weeks. And we're kind of biting our fingernails, wondering where we're going to go next. And people keep telling us no, but we just know that in 3 weeks, something's going to become available. It might not be what we wanted or what we thought we wanted, but it's going to be just perfect for us. So we don't know where we're going to go in the next couple of months. We do know that our plan is to get into Mexico by fall. We have 5 kids, and 4 of them need braces. And, boy, the dental work that you can get done there for a fraction of the cost is just too appealing to pass up. So here we come to Mexico.
That is what a marvelous free way of living. It's just incredible. Yeah, I'm talking about free in terms of freedom. It's really exquisite, really exquisite. So, Kyle, what do you hope people get from your book, Ask God? What will the readers take away?
What a great question, and I want to say it just the right way. When I first started writing this, I also had the thought of writing to provide for my family, and that I still believe in. But after I wrote Ask God, and even while writing it, I realized very quickly that if I was motivated by money rather than the message, that I would fail with this book, which is why I've written other books to help provide for the family. And this one, even though there's a fee for it, just because there's a fee to me to it, I really want to get the message out there that people are cared for by a loving dad in heaven, that he loves us and that he wants us to come to him in prayer. But he realizes that not all of us are in tune. And what I mean by that is oftentimes we kind of put a pavilion between us and God. I'm going to use the P word, pride. We know what we want. We know what we need. We can take care of it ourselves. We really don't need this heavenly being to watch over us, kind of an attitude. And I've had that attitude before. And writing Ask God humbled me. It softened my heart in a way that said, boy, there is someone out there, and he cares about us, because where are these thoughts coming from? Where does inspiration come from? Where do our dreams come from in the first place? I think that anything that is good, anything that inspires, anything that brings us closer to the divine comes from the divine. And so as I was writing this book, I thought, my heart is changing. So if there was one thing that I could hope for that this book does for the reader is soften and change hearts.
Oh, that is so beautiful. So beautiful. Kyle, I just love spending time with you, and it's such an inspirational experience. And I know that Ask God can be found on Amazon, but can you also share with us where people might go to connect with you? Do you have a website?
AskGodTheBook.com. AskGodTheBook.com can take you right to the website to learn a little bit more about what we're doing. You can click from there to our personal blog and learn about all the fun adventures, trials, and challenges we are having as we travel around this beautiful world. Now, we're new at this. We're still kind of in the States, so it's not as popular as going to different exotic countries yet, but the message is still the same. This earth is beautiful, and we're having a wonderful experience as we homeschool our kids and travel around and meet some wonderful people. Vicki, do you mind if I just read one little portion from Ask God that I think is just relevant to what we've been talking about?
Absolutely.
I was just thumbing through and this just popped up, and I thought I just might share this here on the air, and it's just this. God is always speaking to us, but it takes a bit of desperation on our part to hear him. We need to be desperate. Desperate means that our situation is so bad that we cannot solve it alone. Desperate means we have a sense of hopelessness in our own abilities, but does not mean losing hope in a higher power. Trials bring us to our knees in desperation. Prayer lifts us back up onto our feet in faith. Faith, coupled with action, moves us forward into our future.
So beautiful. So beautiful, Kyle. Please, one more time, everyone, you can get Ask God on Amazon. Please give your website again.
Yes, it's askgodthebook.com. That's askgodthebook.com.
Thanks so much, Kyle. And for those of you who would like to know more about Expert Insights, our best-selling books, award-winning magazines, our global broadcasting communities, you can find us at getei.com. That's GETEI.com. And everyone have a wonderful week.